Number one, can Jesus sit with you while you watch your TV shows or your movies? Can Jesus read with you while you read your books or look at your magazines? Can Jesus work with you on your computer or be with you on your phone conversations? Can Jesus sing along with you and delight in the words that you're shouting from your mouth as you listen to your music? Do you allow Jesus to fashion your clothes that you wear? Or would he be embarrassed because of the lack of modesty for the body that is only on loan to you? Men, I've got a question for you. Is Jesus in your marriage? Do you apply his word to your marriage, loving your wife as much as, or try to, as Jesus loves you? Wives, do you have Jesus in your marriage, doing to your husband as unto the Lord? What is the atmosphere in your home like? Is it stale? Is it sterile? Is it barren? Or is it fertile? What is the atmosphere in your home like? Is it sterile? Is it barren? Or is it fertile? This morning as we were watching this video, I couldn't help but think to myself, God, you're speaking to Bethel Assembly of God this morning. And those that have ears, you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I wish I had a hammer and chisel, because what a great illustration that guy played. You have the power to control the atmosphere in your home. Just like Tommy yielded to God and allowed God to chisel. Are you going to talk or are you going to chisel? Are you going to control or are you going to let him chisel? The choice is yours. This morning, my scripture comes out of Leviticus chapter 14, verse 33 and following. Leviticus 14, 33 and following. And this is the law concerning a leprous house. Leviticus 14, 33. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in the house in the land of your possessions, and he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it and examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in and examine the house." Verse 37 says, "And he shall examine the plaster. And indeed, if the plague is in the walls of the house, which is ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut the house for 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they shall take away the stones in which the plague, and they shall cast them into the unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off shall be poured out into the unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take another mortar and plaster the house. Now if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house and after it's plastered, then the priest shall come and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread in the house, it is an act of leprosy in the house. It is unclean, and he shall break down the house and its stones, its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to the unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up, be unclean until evening. Let me read that again. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean till evening. Verse 47. He who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the birds in the eastern vessel, overrunning water. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and the running water, and the living bird, with the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field, and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for any leprosy, sore, and scale. Lord, I come to you this morning. Father, give me clarity, Lord, to deliver your word, Father. And again, Father, anoint me to bring this message under the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Church, I want to challenge you this morning. My two opening questions is the atmosphere in your house right for a miracle? And is the atmosphere in your house right for God's presence? What's the atmosphere that you live in? Because the atmosphere that you live in is the atmosphere that I believe you tend to carry with you wherever you go. I believe you carry that atmosphere with you to work. You carry that atmosphere with you to your friend's house. You carry that same atmosphere with you when you come into the church house. And I believe that as men and women of the Lord, part of our responsibilities is to be sensitive to the atmosphere that's in our home. Be sensitive to the atmosphere that's in our car. Be sensitive to the atmosphere that's in our church. Amen. This video this morning, Pastor Ted, was an awesome selection. Because in my mind, I see God wanting with his chisel to try to chisel things out of our life. He wants us to look in the mirror and be able to say to ourselves, I love you. Not because we're full of ourselves, but because we're full of Jesus. And all those hurts and those pains from times past have been healed. And I believe that God is wanting to bring a healing this morning to the atmosphere of your heart as well. This morning we could spend time talking about how the atmosphere got into the house in the land which God had given his people, the promised land. But in verse 34, I feel like God brings us a clear answer. God said, I put the leprosy plague in the house, in the land of your possession. My question is not how, but why. Why did God put it there? Remember, this is the promised land, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. This is the land in which God delivered his people out of slavery in order to inherit. This is the chosen land. This is the land that the people waited so many years for. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. This is a promise to Abram. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. This is why, church, it's important for us, on a sidebar, to get behind Israel and pray for Israel and support those who support Israel. Because God made a promise to Abram. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. When God is trying to bless someone, when God is pouring a blessing, listen, when you see the favor of God on someone's life, don't get jealous of them. Bless them. When you see God moving in someone's life, don't get envious, don't get jealous, but rejoice with them. Amen? Rejoice with them. When you see God touching someone's life, rejoice with them. Rejoice. I believe that this passage is a promise to every one of us. If we bless what God is doing, not that we got to say, okay, God, you got our blessing. But if we get in behind what God is doing and we bless what God is doing and not curse or down talk or downplay what God is doing, I believe that there is a blessing and it begins to change the atmosphere of our hearts. Proverbs 3:33 says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. It's pulling the hammer and the chisel out, saying, God, is there anything in my life that does not glorify your name? God, is there something on the TV that I'm watching that I shouldn't be watching? Are there movies that I'm watching that I shouldn't be watching? Are there books that I'm reading that I shouldn't, or magazines? Or is there a website that I'm surfing that I shouldn't be surfing? Man, the atmosphere in our homes can be changed so easy by clicking, just one click. And you open up the demonic realm into your homes. It's like an IV straight from the pit of hell being put into your vein. And the entire countenance of your home is changed. The entire atmosphere of your home is changed. And why is it? Because you just kicked the door for the devil wide open to come in. I believe that music is a powerful thing. We're lured by music. That's why I say, can you sing the songs along with Jesus? Or can Jesus sing along with you? You know, I used to be into heavy metal, rock and roll music. I can promise you that Jesus couldn't sing along with me. He'd say, I can't understand the words. Oh, wait, no, that was my parents. I can promise you that Jesus could not sing the lyrics that I was saturating my spirit with. I can promise you that. And you might like, well, I'm not into that kind of music. I like country music. Well, I'm sure that Jesus is not crying in his beer over his last girlfriend that he just moved out of the house with. I'm sure he's not into those kind of lyrics either. Even though you might throw in there, I lost my favorite hunting dog. It doesn't matter to him. I believe that we have to be responsible for the atmosphere in our home church. Listen, this ties right in with the power that the power of our tongue, the power of our decision, the power of our spoken word in faith. This all ties in together because of what God is trying to cultivate, not only here at Bethel Assembly of God, but inside your home as well. And I believe God is saying, this is the season and this is the time in which I'm looking to raise an army up. Because time is short. When you look and you see the news, it's like the writing is huge and it's on the wall. And only people with blinders on can't see what God is doing or can't see what's taking place in society today. And And I believe it's time for us to wake up, wake the sleeping giant up, if you will, and say, let's clean the atmosphere out of our home. Let's clean the atmosphere that's in our home. And let's get the leprosy out of the walls. You know, in the South, you tend to live with certain things. Like palmetto bugs. How many knows what a palmetto bug is? It's a roach. It's a big roach that flies. You know, and there's certain things you just kind of live with because that's the way it is in the South. It's also, instead of snowing right now, well, it might be snowing, but you get a lot of the rain. And so things don't really, and then the summers are hot and muggy. Not like here where you have 3 weeks of humidity and it's hot. But that's a way of life, man. You walk outside and your clothes get wet. Your hair that you've spent all morning teasing goes. That's just the way it is. You don't live without air conditioning in the South. It'd be like living in the North without a good furnace, without heat. You just don't do it. But because of that, sometimes you see mold and mildew growing. And sometimes you just learn to live with that mold and you learn to live with that mildew. You wipe it up and it comes back. You wipe it up again. You get Tilex, you get Moldex, you get whatever X to spray on there. You bleach it down. But see, the real problem lies underneath the wood. It's behind the wall. You got to pull the wall off and you got to address the issue. You got to address the problem. And sometimes you don't want to mess with all that work because, man, my wall, I'll just keep bleaching it and painting it and bleaching it and painting it. But the problem hasn't gone away. And you see, what happens is you got those mold spurs in the air and they begin to affect your respiratory system. And all of a sudden you're sick all the time. And you can't figure out why you're constantly sick. Are you with me on this? I know I'm giving you something that doesn't sound real holy. But this is how it is with sin. We don't address the issue that's in the house. The priest was responsible to go in and scrape the walls and remove whatever it was that the mold was attached to. It wasn't allowed to stand there. He couldn't just go in and scrape the brick off and then be done with it. He couldn't go in and just replaster or scrape. He had to remove the dust. Any evidence of that reddish or greenish leprosy that was in the wall, it had to come out, church. It was funny because when God went to chisel lust out of Tom, he's like, whoa, I'm good. When God goes to do a work in our life, sometimes we want to sidestep, whoa. But by leaving that in our lives, we keep that door open for it to come back. And, oh, we may have covered it up a little bit. We may have glossed over it. We may have sprayed it with bleach and on the surface we can't see it. But underneath it's still there. And that's what's affecting our atmosphere. That's what's affecting our homes. If we want to be physically healthy, then we have to be in an environment that's conducive to physical health. Amen? That's why when people go into places, they wear masks and stuff like this so that they can't, what is that, mesothelioma? You know, and people are affected by that. Asbestos, people are affected by that. That's why when you have a room that has asbestos insulation or ceiling tiles, they have to wear garments to protect themselves from that. But church, we have gotten in a position in our life where we don't put on the blood of Jesus to protect us from the infection of the world, and we walk around and we have this infection that's just oozing out of us, but we're too sick to see it. We don't recognize it. We've learned to live with it. I'll just deal with it. I'll just live with it. When Jesus got on the cross, he got on the cross to save you from your sins. He got on the cross to wash you completely from everything that this gross and perverse generation tries to place on you. He paid a price so that we could walk in an atmosphere that's conducive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, so that we could have an atmosphere in the home where people come into our home and say, "Why is it so peaceful in this house?" Do you hear something in my speech, Mike? Besides my voice. We're talking about atmosphere. Zechariah verse chapter 5, 3 and 4 says, "When he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll. And every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it.'" Verse 4, and this is the key. "I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stone." This is talking about Leviticus chapter 14. You see, we live under God. And there's an atmosphere that God requires us to have in our home. The Canaanites were squatters. A squatter is someone who is living in a building or on land without the permission of the owner and without paying. This is someone who squats. They live someplace that does not belong to them. And the Canaanites were considered squatters. They were living in a land that was not theirs. The devil is trying to live in a land that does not belong to him in your life. We open up the door way too easy. The Bible says there'll be those that say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? I was at church every Sunday morning, Brother Paul. I was there every time the door was open. I was singing on the platform. I was there. Man, I was there Sunday morning. I was there Wednesday night. I was there anytime we had a special event. I always gave extra above and beyond my tithes. I always did this and I always did that. I carried people to church. And that's what it is. It's the big I factor. And the Bible says that he'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Atmosphere is about relationship with Jesus. Atmosphere is about a love relationship with our Lord, saying, "God, I don't want this leprosy. Show me, God, where the leprosy is. Show me so that I can clean the leprosy out of my walls. Show me where that hidden sin," I love that example that he had of that hidden sin, that sin that people do that you don't think anybody knows, but God is standing there and he's watching every move you make. I was reading an article about why people just quit going to church. They just quit going. You see, we got big churches just busting at the seams, but the back doors are just as big as the front. Our little churches are draining dry. Church is just not what it's meant to. It's not meeting the bill anymore. And I was reading the reasons why they were saying, and one of them is because it's too production oriented. And the other one is saying there's no authenticity there. In other words, we're to be the pillar of truth in the community church. We're to be the example of the love of Christ. And people come in and they sit down and they see flesh. Now, yes, we all have flesh and flesh stinks, but the bottom line is they walk into an atmosphere that might not be healthy. And they say, why walk into this atmosphere that's not healthy when I can have the same thing anywhere else? What makes us different, church, than any place else? We're supposed to be a Christ-centered church. The cross is in the center. Christ got on the cross, and when he did, he washed us and made us white as snow. That's a life-changing event. That's an atmosphere-cleansing event that took place. But church, the church has allowed the world to come in and affect the way the church is, instead of the church going into the world and affecting the world. It starts in our home. It starts in our home. Let me move on. Atmosphere defined as a gaseous envelope, a gaseous envelope surrounding the earth, the air. A conventional unit of pressure. The normal pressure of the air at sea level is about 14.7 pounds, just in case you was wondering. The dominant mood or the emotional tone of a work of art is the atmosphere. A distinctive quality as of a place, character, like the old part of a town has lots of character. If you drive into downtown Perrysburg, all those old buildings, they have character. That's atmosphere. We can talk about different atmosphere. There's an atmosphere that surrounds death or dying. When somebody has passed away, you go into a hospital room and somebody's just right there getting ready to stand before the Lord or go meet Jesus. There's an atmosphere in that room. I've done funerals of people that were saved and people who didn't know Christ. And the atmosphere in the midst of that funeral is such a difference. I did a funeral of a saint. And there was an atmosphere of rejoicing and joy and gladness. And it was a privilege. It was an honor to do that funeral. But then I did the funeral of a man who took his own life and never knew Jesus. And when somebody came up to speak something good about this guy, the guy got up and he said, well, I worked with so-and-so for 45 years and he never came to work late. And he walked off the platform. What a legacy. The atmosphere was cold. The atmosphere was barren. The atmosphere was sterile. You have the atmosphere of a new life, birth. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of a little baby by committing and dedicating that baby to Jesus. The atmosphere of a wedding usually is everybody's excited. Everybody's happy, hopefully. The atmosphere around your home. There's an atmosphere around your home. There's an atmosphere around getting a new home. Helped my nephew move into a home yesterday. There was an atmosphere in that home, and oh, do I remember those moves. Seems just like a couple months ago. We moved like, I don't know, I'm going to conservatively say about 15 times in our short 19 years of marriage. I know about that atmosphere moving. No, about the aches and pains are moving too. But there's an atmosphere of getting into a new home and all the boxes are around. You're like, ooh, I can't wait to set up my new house. There's an atmosphere around your work. Got deadlines, quotas, strikes, production, budget. There's an atmosphere there, church. Some of the things that affect our atmosphere, like I told you earlier, was mildew and mold, but there's a way that we can change our atmosphere, and we change our atmosphere brick by brick. God is very specific in his directions in cleaning the plague of the house. And if we use his example, we can become effective at cleaning the atmosphere in our home. If you remember in Leviticus 14, verse 45, it said, if all this has been done and the house has been shut up and the priest comes back and there's still the leprosy in the walls, God then says, tear the house down brick by brick, mortar, timber and everything, and haul it out. And I'm closing with this. The reason why that bad atmosphere has to be removed completely out of the city is because that atmosphere spreads. That atmosphere spreads. And it's an unhealthy atmosphere. And the safest thing for that to, the safest thing to have take place is to just absolutely remove the house completely and start fresh and new. Church atmosphere spreads. It's contagious. For some reason, it's easier to focus on the negative than it is the positive. For some reason, it's easier to point out someone's faults rather than their strengths. Why is that? Why is that? We can change that. We can change that. We can start focusing on the strengths rather than the negatives. We can condition ourselves to start speaking positive about people than negative about people. Atmosphere is contagious. You get a pregnant woman sitting there and her atmosphere kind of glows, but you get two pregnant women sitting there and I'm telling you, all of a sudden they're radiating this beam and all the women around them are like, oh, I remember when I was pregnant. And then all the pregnant stories start coming and all the sick stories start coming. All the delivery stories start happening. You know how it is. It's called atmosphere. Atmosphere. I know this is a basic, simple message, but what I want to do is I want to challenge you this morning, because next week we're going to get into it a little bit deeper. But I want to challenge you this morning. When you go home, say, God, what's the atmosphere in my home like? What's the tone? What's the temperature that I've set in my home? Is there yelling and screaming in my home, or is there praise and rejoicing going on in my home? Is my family at peace in my home, or is there turmoil in my home? And you have the ability to change that, because it'll come brick by brick. But if you begin to follow the law of God, if you begin to follow God's voice, He'll begin to expose to you where that is, and He'll begin to help you weed that out and clean it up. Church, I want to challenge you.